GamerCast episode 16.
Oh yeah. We have to apologize for the sucking sound from time to time. Paul's got a sugar mouse in his mouth. Yeah, you did.
No.
It took ages to get into the damn box. Right, get the show notes up and let's rock.
Show notes, what show notes? Show notes we spent 3 hours doing.
Right.
Left.
Up, down, and I call diagonal. Right, on with the news.
What?
Diagonal. Diagonal's mine.
What are you on about?
No, it's Rooster Teeth. Have you watched any of The Sims?
No.
Oh, there's a cool bit with... the voice comes on the TV and says, "We control the horizontal and the vertical." And then the really stupid surfer type bloke goes, "I call diagonal." Yeah, it's quite cool.
Yes, it sounds funny.
Yeah, on with the news. Right. Xbox 360 releases.
Here we go again.
Finally. A few more games coming out. Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter.
Which you'll have reviewed for next week, won't you?
Yes, if what I'm saying happens. As far as we're aware, it should be coming out on the 10th of this month. Which should be...
So that's Friday.
This Friday. Obviously, UK... Europe release, but there is a slight rumour that it might be the 17th.
Everything
on the net is saying the 10th.
Our other miscellaneous sources say the 17th.
So we shall see. If I can scrounge enough money together and trade in some games, I might be able to get it for the weekend.
You've got to buy it for GamerCast. Take it out the GamerCast pot.
Yeah. Someone's
the pot with no money.
The pot with no money. We'll get some money. Off Bob's website.
Definitely.
Someone's going to buy an accent. Have it downloaded into their brain. And
Matrix style, which is on my crap list.
Which will be later. Another Xbox 360 release. 24th of March.
Hang on a minute, go back. Fight Night is Friday as well.
Fight Night is Friday as well.
Which is good because everyone's looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think I did notice that there were all the stuff that I was complaining about, like K2's NHL and all that lot that were supposed to come out a while ago. Looks like they're all set for the 10th as well.
Mm.
So there might be a bit more. So if you've got a 360 and you're gagging to play new games this Friday, save up your money, get ready to rock and roll.
Have a couple hundred quid because there's probably like 50 games coming out.
And probably 50 quid each. Never mind. It'll be
just go to Asda, they're 40 quid.
We didn't say that. Yes, 24th of March, release date for, drum roll.
Yeah, well, don't do that, you're going to clip the mic. Dude. Do a little drum roll.
Okay, ready? Drum roll.
The Elder Scrolls 4, Oblivion.
Oh yeah.
And that's definite.
That's a definite.
It's been released, well, it's the week the 20th worldwide. We get it on 24th because we're in the UK, which sucks.
So that's PC and 360.
Yep.
Joint release.
Yep.
Which means that's four possibilities. That's...
Why four? What are you on about?
Standard PC Oblivion, standard 360, or the limited edition...
Ooh, the collector's one.
The collector's edition that opens and folds. And
yeah, an interesting fact as well... Mal, my dude.
Put it down.
On the oblivionportal.com, we did a little survey on which platform people are going to buy it on. And, I mean, usually you'd think a lot of people on the websites would vote for the PC.
Yeah.
But 44% of people are saying they're going to buy it on the 360. And that's out of about, what is it? 40,000 votes.
Yeah. I think that's... for the fact that finally we have a console that can
do what a PC can.
Yeah,
do.
It can keep up. It can square up with the PC, blow for blow, which is needed. Don't choke on that. So I think that gives it that advantage that people are wanting something new and fresh on the.
Yeah, Kajit Boys post. Yeah. We had 64 comments on that. Bloody hell! I should probably read some of those because they're probably all spam. Nope, they're real posts. wow, people are getting excited.
Yeah, it's getting close. It's going to be nice.
And then we're not doing Gamercast for 6 months because we're playing Oblivion.
No, I think we ought to have a...
record Gamercast while we're playing Oblivion.
Yes. It's an Oblivion cast. Specifically on Gamercast. Yeah. With that string break, you've had it. I'm going to have to do the Heimlich manoeuvre. Or just hit you with something hard.
I'll just put it down for now.
Yeah, so...
sugar all over my fingers now.
Don't touch the mouse. I mean the other one.
Oh no, I've gunked up my keyboard.
Yeah, so... that's the...
major release. Less than 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Less than 3 weeks, and then we get to play Oblivion.
And I found something cool out, which I've never noticed. And I must admit, I have seen it... shut. On the screenshots, but I've just noticed, and Paul has confirmed it, horses.
Yeah, you buy a horse, man, and ride around.
No more running.
Well, Daggerfall had horses.
Did it?
Yeah. Morrowind just didn't, because...
they were lame, and they wanted you to run everywhere, and be knackered.
Just use one of the guilds to teleport, use the mage guild to teleport you, or you've got all the other transportation methods. It's only noobs who don't know that, who run everywhere, and it's like, dude, just pay the guy 8 gold pieces and he'll teleport you there.
Well, yeah. Easy. I did that, because I was a mage, so I either teleported through the mage guild, or I got a boat, or eventually I ended up doing it the old-fashioned way, where I'd run really fast as a werewolf.
Yeah, that was cool. You could cross the whole island in a matter of minutes.
Yeah. Werewolf rules. So, yeah.
Although it made you realise how small Morrowind really is.
Yeah, it really did slow it, miniaturise the whole island a bit. Although I must admit, I do love that snow island.
Solstheim.
Yeah, it's a great...
yeah, I love that expansion pack, that was just kick-ass.
Yeah, yeah.
It just sucked me in and I couldn't stop playing it, which is bad, because it means I complete it really quickly.
Yeah.
Don't suck me in and make me play it all day. I've got other things to do.
Right. New game on the block. Going to be out sometime later this year. It's the one to wait for. Paul can announce it.
Bob Mann's Monkey Farm. Sorry, he paid me £500 to say that.
Go on.
Spore.
Spore.
Spore as in spore. Like a spore dude.
Do I need to say any more? Yes, probably.
Yes, because nobody's heard of it.
No one's heard of it.
It's only because of my elite hacker skills that I found out about it. Really, Chapstick posted on his blog, and I saw it. But for the public, that's Lee Hacker Skills, hacking his blog by typing in the address.
But yeah, Spore, it is looking absolutely amazing. I've only just looked at it as I got here, and...
Adam says, wow, yeah. Oh my god, wow.
And then once he finished wowing me and I really wanted the game, wow, and double shotgun through the low, bang, wow, even more.
I didn't see any shotguns in the game. Don't make stuff up.
No, me, shotgun, head, exploding.
You shot yourself in the head with a shotgun?
Yeah, theoretically, my brain
never noticed that.
It's excitement. The sheer excitement from it. But we might as well tell them about the game, because they're probably wondering what the hell we're going on about.
Yeah, go on then. I'll correct you when you get it all wrong.
Yeah, I'll just say it off the top of my head, and then you can correct.
Nope, that's wrong.
Basically... it is a game where you are kind of like a single-celled amoeba organism sort of thing. And you go around defending yourself, and it's...
you go around being the man among all these other single-celled organism dudes.
You're trying to survive, you're eating, and you can edit your character, you can stretch it out, move it about.
I'm going to butt in there. You don't edit your character. You... control the next generation of it.
Yeah, sorry, my bad.
So basically, when you lay an egg, which is really weird because they don't lay eggs, they split, but whatever.
But you can customize.
You lay an egg.
Yeah, sorry.
And you click on the egg, and you can design the next generation of creature. So you could
through the evolution.
You could add an extra chainsaw to the front of your dude, and he could
a limb or a spike or some stabbing thing.
Chainsaw.
Or a chainsaw.
No, no chainsaws in it, dude. Oh. Don't mix stuff up.
but yeah, it is basically...
And eventually, Then over time, you get bigger and bigger until you're a big dude swimming around in the sea, and then you can change away, stuff again.
Take away his fin, get him feet, and then he'll have to survive on the land. So you come out of the land, and it is basically a third-person survival game, going around
eating dudes, eating plants, being eaten.
And then as you evolve a bit more, the game will come into more of a... We've got to go back a bit.
Let me put in there. Reach evolutionary stage. So every time there's a new generation, you want to save a bit of your money, I suppose, the money you spend on upgrades.
Yeah, upgrades for weapons.
For your brain.
Yeah.
Because the bigger you can get your brain, the better in the long run, because you'll be able to get access to a sentient being who can interact with other beings socially and do stuff like that. Carry on.
When that happens, game changes again. This game is basically lots of games that are already out molded into one, and as you evolve, your character evolves, everything else evolves, so eventually it becomes an RTS because you've got a colony of these creatures you created and they're trying to interact. And we were watching the video demo, and they decided to give him some tools, so you can buy some different tools.
Buying some spears, and they all ran around and pick up spears.
And they all got excited about it, and then he put them a fire down, and they all started screaming and running around, because they were like, oh, fire! And then they all got excited about it. He said that his species were very excitable. And then he gave them a drum, and they freaked out about the drum, and then they started playing the drum, and they started dancing around everything.
And these were like, these weird tripod dudes with three legs.
Yeah.
So yeah. There's really no limit to what you can create with it. You can create a deal with, you know, like loads of legs, or two legs and two arms, like a Care Bear.
And stretch everything out. You can get mold. Rib cage and build it a bit further around. The other thing is, the animation is not preset animated to your character, so it's not like you're limited on what you can create because
the program actually works out the skeletal form and all that and animates it for you.
Mm. It's all run.
Which is cool because it means it's limitless what you can do with it.
Which is quite advanced programming.
You can make, I don't really want to say this, but you can make a wester. And you can have all these westers running around. And then you can put them on a planet and blow them up.
But yeah.
Which brings us to the next thing. Once you evolve the brain, all your evolution then takes place as technology.
Yeah, then you've got your cities, and it's a bit more like SimCity at this point.
SimCity. Good game, that is. They need to release SimCity 5, because SimCity 4 was too...
And shall we just introduce... It actually is made by the same people.
Didn't I say that?
No, we haven't said that.
Okay, it is made by Will Wright, who is obviously the dude at Maxis, who came up with SimCity, and then The Sims, and was bought by EA, and then nearly sucked, and... They need this game to recover them and show, hey, look,
this is
even though EA own our butts, we can still pull something out of our asses when we need to.
Yeah, this is...
Rather than just 50 expansion packs for The Sims.
It's Evolution Mega times 20,000 billion times, and...
I wouldn't go that far.
It is looking that... I'm just getting excited, I can't talk about it. Yeah, so...
Well, you weren't really wetting yourself in the video.
Yeah. And your next stage, once you've got a little bit further, you're being able to look around to other cities. I shall stop there. One other aspect, which is quite nice, is through all of the elements you'll be going through, all the other creatures you're trying to defend yourself off, when you become a larger organism, all the other creatures in the ocean, all the other creatures when you first come onto land, everything you're fighting against, instead of them being pre-made enemies or your prey, these characters are actually made by other people on the net. So your species that you make is downloaded and then uploaded onto everyone else's computer. So they've
got you in the world.
Yeah.
And you've got them in your world.
Yeah.
So all the time there's constantly new stuff being sent down through the internet.
So it's...
I mean, it's not multiplayer in that you play against them. Yeah. But their creatures and stuff get downloaded to your machine, and then the computer plays as them.
So
instead of having the same dude time and time again, you've got something fresh all the time.
The advantage about it is, instead of having this same characters again and again, or having it randomly made, everybody who plays this game will be adding to the characters of the game. We're basically making the game.
It could get to the point where you say you've got forums on the internet and you can talk about some creature that has just like evolved and turned up. And it's like, oh my god, have you seen this new creature that's, you know, been annoying everyone? And, you know, it's just things like that, which is really cool. And then everyone could, like, go on a mass hunting party and wipe your bastards out.
Because everybody would be able to find these creatures.
Well, not necessarily everyone, but it depends how well distribution works, technically. But
yeah,
it means you'll have fresh content all the time.
Which will be nice. The other thing which also means that, which we'll get onto, you won't necessarily be able to find everybody's species for a particular reason, which we'll get into.
I mean, if you've got a million people playing the game, you're not going to have a million species in the world. That would be mental. Mm. I mean, that would be sweet if it was, because you could get all these nerds to like, categorise them and put them in drawers and museums.
But where I got to the bit where it's like SimCity. At this point, it's technological, so you're building your buildings to do different things, so it's very much SimCity rules, and you've got your vehicles, and you've got other cities that you can communicate with. So the guy was showing this other city, and all of a sudden it sent some tanks over that started attacking his city. And
obviously, saying that it's not just war.
No, it's diplomacy. It's all.
I mean, this is still Maxis, and they're not that violent yet.
So,
Sport 2.
The violence.
Universal
bit,
war.
Yeah, the violence is a little bit knocked down, but it's still there. It's more in the sense of that tribal war sort of feeling, but. No, it is quite good. And then the next bit where he jumped to stage showed the spaceship next one.
Yep. You basically have the ability to travel to other planetoids in your star system.
Yeah.
Which is really cool because, for example, in the demo he showed going to a little planet with no atmosphere.
Yeah, moon.
And shooting some, you know, this volcano power at it, which isn't very realistic.
But it was nice.
But it was a good way to generate atmosphere.
Mm.
Even though it wasn't very realistic at all.
The zoom as well, it's kind of... Because once you get to this sort of thing, it starts getting a bit like Civilization, where you can zoom out of the planet and rotate around it. There is a slight fade between where you've got the realistic of the curvature of the Earth and everything, and then as soon as you zoom out a bit too much, it's got this very stylistic look, and everything becomes more of an icon stuck on the side of the planet.
But that's cool, because you can actually see what's going on.
Yeah.
Even though when you're zoomed out, because the tanks get really big and you can see the tanks.
Yeah, it's got a real nice stylistic look, and the water and the oceans and the land are really carved.
I mean, that's the thing. The oceans are just as much part of the game as the land. You can go and build cities under the water and stuff as well.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
The possibilities are endless. Going back to the character alterations, when you go through the evolution stage, you can grab hold of the spine, stretch it out, and then bend it. Because if you look at, like, you look at our curvature of the spine, there is a natural curve, which
is a real disaster with us walking upright, because it buggered everyone's backs up.
Exactly. But that curvature of the spine determines how we move. So you change the curvature of the spine of your character, increase the rib cage, make them a bit skinnier, makes the tail fold over their head, or instead of making it drag behind them, the character will develop completely different, which makes
exactly. If you take the guy's legs off, oh wow, you can make snakes.
Snake guys. And he had one guy, and he was bipedal, four-legged character, but on the ankle bone of. Was it the ankle or...?
It was near the ankle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He had an extra couple of legs.
He had a right angle joint leg, so he had 4 feet. No, he had 2 feet.
He had four legs and 6 feet.
Which was just... And it worked. The character was actually walking and stuff, and it was amazing. He had one guy that had 2 heads, one facing one way and one facing the other,
and
that had pincers,
so
that it could attack from either back or front. And you were saying that depending on how you create your character, they will be very kind of warlike or very peaceful.
Exactly. If you've got a dude who's a carnivore and who's got loads of sharp teeth and stuff, he'll be more aggressive than some dude who's a big fat blob dude who smooches around the ground.
He also said about the Star Trek thing, they've been using Star Trek as reference for the different types of species. So they're saying, right, this is going to be more like a Klingon, this is going to be more like a Romulan, this is going to be more like... humans. This is
and this
more,
can be more like one of the Ferengi scum.
Yeah, so not saying it looks like Star Trek or anything like that, or anything
it,
like
it
that.
Was just, it was just something they used for development purposes.
Yeah, just to try and get a difference between the styles of the different species.
Because how you evolve the creature reflects everything through your technology.
Yeah, the look of everything. You can even get hold of the buildings and
change them.
Yeah, you got your standard building setup saying that's what you want. You put it here, and the little box comes and says, yes, it's green, you can put it here. It's not going to be stuck with something else. But that building set, you can mold, morph, change.
And the buildings get sent down through the internet as well. So you've got new other people's buildings. So if you've got a particular sort of style set, you like sort of round buildings with big blobs on top, you'll get more of those sort of buildings presented to you automatically.
Yeah. It also the fact that...
It's cool, man.
Yeah, and I'm getting excited because, wow, you can fly around your planet and your solar system and go to a moon and start colonizing it, which means you can start going to other planets that have got life on, if they have,
and say,
pick them
yo,
up.
Dude, what's up?
So you could pick up non-intelligent life and start taking them to your planet and start...
integrating them into the population, which will then affect it all like that as well.
Because it's got a natural equilibrium, so when you're playing at the beginning, when you're just got out of the water and you're like a carnivore or a predator or...
whatever you want to be.
Or you're being eaten by everybody, there's a natural equilibrium, so everything... So you will not always be like top dog. You will not always be on the top of the food chain. There is always...
Until you get the brain.
Yeah.
And then you go around kicking people's ass with a shotgun.
It's just awesome. So when you get to the
and
spaceship...
And then when you're really annoyed, you drop a nuke on them. Eat that, Mr. Insect Dude. Eat nuke.
The bit where Paul told me, wait, it's going to get better. And it's like, you're there, and then he goes, right, let's zoom out. So he zooms out of the solar system...
to the galaxy.
Even further out.
And you've got more systems and more intelligent civilizations as well who are hanging around... doing their own thing, and you can go say hi.
Yeah.
You can go and like drop some of your dudes from your planet on them, and like try and, you know, if you create a creature who's really queer or a really aggressive creature, you know, it'll totally ruin the guy's, you know, biosphere.
Mm.
So you've got all these little sandbox planets to just play around with,
which have been created by everyone else. But whatever you do to their, so say for argument's sake, Paul happens to stumble, goes to the next galaxy. Finds his...
Whoa, stop. Still in the same galaxy.
Same galaxy.
Goes to another system.
Goes to another system, sorry. Bad.
Stupid Star Wars boy.
Boosh.
People not get it right. You know, this is basic stuff. There we go. Solar system and stuff.
Sure.
I can take the count like that.
Yeah. Paul comes and actually finds my planet. Goes down. Tries to communicate with him. And my guys...
The communication bit is really cool because it's like Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, you have to do all the
really cool.
The whole light scene, the whole do 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 do, and then because it was showing us the demo and he tried it, and then they all just basically opened up fire and started shooting laser beams at him, and he was like, okay, they're not friendly, and had to go away. And then, you know, Paul could be doing this. Paul could be going to my planet, try to communicate with my guys, and I've got no control of them because this is on Paul's game. People I created don't like him, start shooting and giving all wells. Spacecraft coming from the sky, let's blow him up. So Paul decides, bugger it, let's nuke him, and just literally blows my planet to kingdom come. So my people won't be in...
But one thing we've got to emphasise is it's not multiplayer like that. It's just the content from other people.
Yeah, so that will not affect every other person who plays this game, and it won't affect mine. I will not know that this has happened. It's just my reference of the things I do to tweak my evolution of the attack
so
I started
awesome.
With.
I could spend a whole time searching the galaxy for months trying to find your planet just so I could
blow it
up and record it and say in your face.
Yeah, so...
In your face. That's your guy with the word seven legs and the three heads and the two eyes and the one nose and the one big octopus dude thing on his back. Boom.
Yeah, definitely. He was saying that the further you get along in the game, more of everything else is open, so you can start going and tweaking other civilizations that are on your planet. And
yeah, once you get to a certain level, you can access
the editors,
the genetic editor for like free and just messing around with other creatures.
Yeah, so it becomes just a giant paint palette. It starts from being controlling of a single cell organism to more like
a galactic
race,
civilization.
A race that can be the power of God being able to change everything. It's not like a God's sin. You are...
God's sin, like the disaster which was Black and White 2.
But, no, it is looking good. Can we go out again from that? Or was that the last zoom out?
I hope that was the last zoom out. Going any further is really stupid.
Yeah, so it was just...
Because it would just be like brain overload.
So you could see the whole entire lot. So, yeah, I know it...
I'll give you a clue of how bad brain overload it is in a bit. Because I've got a really cool video, actually. But we'll have to wait till this is finished.
Okay. So, yeah, it is looking absolutely amazing. Stylistically, it looks
nice.
Yeah. You know,
I just hope they get rid of the sim-like editors and stuff, because it looks too childish.
Yeah, it has the aspect of the sim. It keeps the simplicity to it, but... Do you know that looks really stupid, because it looks like you've got a swollen-up pink tongue. And someone's pierced a bit of string through the end of it, because you've just got a piece of normal standard wrapping string sticking out your mouth.
Just because you don't get one.
I'm alright. I can live without a sugared enhanced mouth stuck in my mouth. But yeah, I must admit, that game is absolutely looking amazing. Fair enough.
And it's out end of the year, hopefully. Yeah.
So
and for more information, you can visit www.sporeportal.com.
Definitely. Go look at some of the pictures. As I was saying, the stylistic look of it is absolutely amazing. I'm really falling for this game. It just looks...
If Oblivion wasn't coming out, it'll be game of the year.
Definitely.
Assuming they don't screw it up. And let you import Sims into it. So, mommy, I want to import. I want this game because I can import Charlie, my Sim guy, into it, so he can bum around on some planet
and get eaten.
That'd be cool, though. We could take someone's Sims, put them on a planet, and then blow the planet up. Burn. We need to do that with something like Quake 4 or something. Put people's Sims into the game and blow them up.
As well as one thing that they did show, they were showing how different all of the characters will look. If you go on Spore's Portal, you will see some of the pictures of what we've been looking at, where it's got the three-legged creature that's got the tail with the weird flower grapple thing on the thing, and then there's also the butt-faced man, which is very kind of like a spider with a small head that looks like a butt. But there was like this...
On the video, there was, you know, they made a Care Bear.
Yeah, that was what I was going to get to. They made a Care Bear, so...
There's a real, you know, variety of stuff you can make with it.
Mm. So the...
Which is why I said we should make Wester and then blow them up. put them on a planet in no atmosphere. That was cool, that bit. They basically dropped some creature onto a planet with no atmosphere, so there was no pressure at all, and they just exploded.
Yeah, and his brain just landed on the moon. Blood everywhere. But it that sense of freedom. It's back to being free, but not too free. It's like going on to something completely different. It's like that whole fad that everybody decided, wow, we made Grand Theft Auto. You can go around and do whatever you want. Let's make every single game like that. And it's just got a little bit OTT. It's gone a bit
like
nuts.
Take in Thief 3, where you could walk around a city, and you had to walk around a city to go to a shop to buy something. Yeah. Not a waste of time. Because you did it once or twice, then you just went to the shop automatically. With a press of a button.
Mm.
It's just boring otherwise.
Yeah, looking at it from a different, you know, because it's RTS. It's kind of animal management. It's,
whoa.
You know, 1 minute you're doing RTS style, Command and Conquer stylistic. Next minute you're more like Civilization. Next minute you're more...
like Mr. Spock in his trek across the stars.
Yeah, you know, it's multitude of different gaming styles all built into one, which is a nice and fresh. And that whole large, you can do whatever you want, is...
It's really, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's a fun... It's the object of the game. It's not, this is an object of the game, but hey, we'll let you go and do whatever you bloody well want while you're playing the game. So you end up with so much freedom, it bores the crap out of you because you don't know what to do. The concept is, you can do whatever you want to do, because that's the aim of the game. Evolve your character and work your way all the way until you control the whole entire galaxy with your evil empire, your three-legged, one-eyed butt monster.
Yeah.
So
or your crazy two-legged, two-armed, one-headed Western. Oh my god.
So yeah, that spore is...
Oh my god, you can make a human being with two heads.
They can argue with each other.
Oh my god, a Western with two heads.
The thing I like about it is, it's like, if you look at Sims, there are some restrictions of what you can do. You can.
It's limited to basically bumming around in the house, or one of the expansion pack places, like a park, which is the same thing as a house, it just looks different. And whatever. And the trouble is, you have people barging in for your house. You'd have a shotgun to blow them away to tell them, "Oi, you're not allowed in my house," because they just come into your house.
Mm.
Rude.
I think the thing I like about this is
rude.
You look at Sims. Sims is fully customizable in the box. This game basically says, "Here's the box. We want you to work in it. We want you to work out of it. We want you to pick the box up, throw it across the galaxy, and design some way to be able to catch it on the other side." It is so working out of the box, it's unbelievable. You know, there are limitations, it's a game, you know. You're limited by certain things, but...
Are we done talking about this now? Because it's been half an hour.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
We don't have time for the other stuff.
Oh, right. Well, we'll do a quick overview.
Well, we do have time, I'll just...
Okay.
I'll just sum up what we think about the Spore.
Okay, sum up.
Spore has the potential to be one of the best games ever made.
Hmm.
Full stop.
Yeah. Need to say any more. Go watch the video, and to be honest, if this is not your type of game...
It will be your type of game when you see the video.
Once you've played it, if it looks as good as it's going to hopefully be when it's released, I think a lot of people are going to be buying this. It's going to be a new fad, a new thing.
Well, I don't know, because that video was released nearly a year ago.
Was it?
And it's, you know, so this game is, you know, it's creeping up stealth-wise, man.
Mm. I can see it being kind of like the new dogs, you know what I mean? A fad where you're having people that aren't normally buying video games or being really crazy about them are ended up... It's going to open up a whole new range of gamers. But anyway, Spore, go check it out.
SporePortal.com.
Yeah, good pictures on there. Right.
Right, we were going to talk about Dawn of War and Battle for Middle-Earth 2, but we're going to have to be really quick with this.
Yeah, I think we'll do a bit more detail next week, but...
Well, if we shunt Dawn of War to next week...
Yeah, we'll shunt Dawn of War to next week so you can have a proper go on it.
Battle for Middle-Earth 2 was released... Whenever it was released, a week ago or whatever.
Yeah, a week
ago. No, it was released on... Released on Friday.
Mm.
Yeah, so... It is new for this GamerCast. Those who like the first game will probably like this one as well. But it does have a few problems with it. I'll go into those problems because I'm the guy who likes to talk about people's bad sides. Hence the massive 160-point crap list we've got coming up later. Good points about the first game. Castles.
Mm.
Pre-built castle, blah, blah, blah. Really fun.
Got a nice little door you can open and close.
Number two, they scrapped that. Now you build your own walls. The walls are hugely expensive. It will cost thousands of credits to build walls all the way around your base. So it really limits it. I mean, you know, you could either build like 20,000 dudes who can actually win a battle, or you could build a bunch of walls. Mm. And the walls themselves are weak as anything. You know, a bunch of guys attacking them because you don't need siege weapons to attack walls anymore. So the walls are just a waste of time, and it really limits the game, I think. Cool things though, War of the Ring mode, which I've not played yet, but it's like a turn-based strategy game over Middle Earth, which is quite funky.
Hmm.
Bad nice. Points with that is you can only use hero units to attack other territories, which is just dumb.
Hmm.
I mean, in war, do you need a hero to lead an army? No, you just need some dude with a stick telling them to go into that territory.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of disappointing, because it means some of your bits are totally defensive, because you've got no hero unit. And other bits is offensive because they've got Aragorn or some other dude with them.
I like the hero creator as well.
The hero creator is cool. I've created a couple of heroes. Dutroll, who's this troll dude, and Catmu, who's this elven archer dude with a bow. Yeah. Hence why they're an archer. Then I created Adam, who's this weird dodgy guy from the east with a bad hat.
I have a bad hat and a big hammer. Don't mess with me. So yeah, I would say
it's still a good game, but a bit too similar to the first one. Hard to recommend buying it for 35 quid, definitely.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you do like the first one, you are a huge fan of it, yeah, probably best to go for it.
Yeah, if the first one rocked your world, then definitely go for it. If the first one was a bit, yeah, it's Lord of the Rings, I like playing it, but, you know, I'm quite happy.
One cool thing, though, is unit limit for multiplayer. You can scale the unit limit up quite easily. It's got an option to scale.
Well, you can get the armies pretty
big.
Oh, that's a nice feature. I think the one thing I would say,
because
in a nutshell,
you had to mod that before, which is kind of annoying, because you know you've got to extract the file and then mod it and then you know get it over to the other person as well. Hope they're running the same version of the game and blah blah blah, which takes too much time.
Yeah.
But we're gonna have to do that anyway for the walls, because the walls as they are just too weak.
The whole concept of having an army being able to knock them down instead of not using siege weapons is just
you need
stupid.
To use siege weapons.
I think
it's
they
a
make
war.
It fun. Otherwise,
I mean, can a guy with a sword knock down a brick wall?
Are the siege
a huge
weapons,
stone wall.
Are the siege weapons still in it?
Yeah, still siege weapons in it.
That's just stupid, really. But I would say with this game, in a nutshell, it seems like they've fixed a few things of what people would like, because people
it,
like
it seems like that's what they want to do with Battle for Middle-earth 1. It still feels exactly like Battle for Middle-earth 1. So it's more like an expansion pack in that sense, which is why it's, you know, hard to, you know, the 35 quid price tag.
Yeah. I'd say they've solved a few problems, maybe some kind of whinges about maybe like the castle, not being able to design your own castle. I must admit, the concept of that, it sounds pretty cool.
But saying that, take my dad for example, he could play that game fine because it was simple to build stuff. The economy was easy to manage. You build a farm, that's it. You don't have to worry about harvesters going to get stuff. And
yeah, I think basically what they've done, like I said, in a nutshell, they've tried to solve some whinges and they've just caused some problems in the long run. So I think
they... But it does have, like, the Minas Tirith map, the, what's the other...
Shire.
Yeah, it has a really cool Shire map and it has the Isengard map.
Yeah.
And what's the Helm's Deep in it? And it actually has the castles in those, which are operable.
Oh,
because
nice.
A lot of users actually made those maps as multiplayer maps.
Yeah.
But they usually had a couple of issues, like you could walk through walls if you just hit it right, and you know, clipping issues like that.
Yeah.
So those are like default in multiplayer now, which is really cool, because I always enjoy playing one of those maps, because it's always a nice challenge to storm someone's castle.
I think that's the thing, it's coming at it from a different angle, the whole concept of having an RTS Lord of the Rings, so I think it's the same, it's different. They've added some good bits, they've ended up creating some bad bits. They've got rid of some good bits from the first one. You know, the other thing I liked about it was the different people you can play as. You know, you can play as the elves now.
The elves, men, dwarves, goblins, the Sauron mortal dudes, and the Isengard dudes. But some of them do share the same units, like, you know, the goblins and Isengard have access to trolls, so some of the sides share the same units, but
yeah.
There's enough uniqueness there.
Right, we'll leave Dawn of War till next week, so Paul can have a go on it, because I'm trying to get him to play it, so...
I'm trying to download the demo, but none of the sites are working.
So we'll leave that till next
week. It's annoying.
Paul's crab list.
But hey,
it's grown.
It's grown a few points, so I can't really think of anything that's crap, really. Just name some games randomly, quick.
Oh, don't put me on the spot. I can't think when I've been put on the spot. My brain doesn't work.
Well, Metal Gear Solid's already on the list, so...
Yeah.
That's one thing you've been raving about for bloody
I've completed Metal Gear Solid 3. It rocked. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to spoil it, because the ending does rock. One thing that I do like about it is playability.
I should never have given you the opening.
Playability is quite good, because of the fact that playing it again and again, once you've completed it, you can go back and do it from a different angle, and there's lots of different things you can get.
Right, the crap list.
Crap list, sorry.
Black, Tokyo Rage, Driver 3, Shadow Colossus, Lemmings on PSP, Final Fantasy, Sky News, PlayStation 3, Blu-ray, Metal Gear Solid 3, iPod, Tony, and The Matrix. New items this week are the PlayStation 1, the PlayStation 2, and packaging. I had a real trouble with those sugar mice trying to get into them.
I had to stab them open using
with the Eiffel Tower. And all the noobs on portalformers.net posting crap loads of shit which nobody really gives a toss about, which I've got to go through and read because I'm supposedly the admin dude. I was so desperate I gave Kajit mod rights because I was sick of dealing with it all.
And then we were going to, for extra time, we wanted a bit of a kind of a whinge and an idea of, we want a moon base.
We want a real moon base.
Space. Bush should stop the whole defense and put some more money in NASA. Tell them to get a moon base on there. You know, we want some.
Well, that's the thing, because everyone's saying the NASA's budget is growing, but the science part of the budget is not growing, and it's all, you know, the TV-friendly, rating, hippie, American, oh, let's blast people into space, blah, blah, blah. You know, we need a new space telescope. We need a massive space telescope with the ability to easily resolve other planets around other stars, because it's just ridiculous. Come on, we detected them, now we just need to build a huge space telescope.
Would you say a telescope, if we did have a moon base, a telescope on the moon, would that be useful? Or the fact that it's on the moon cause more problems than having it in orbit?
I would put it in orbit, because although the moon is perfectly valid, the trouble with the moon is you'd have to wait for the moon to rotate to point it at something if it's on the other side of the moon. The moon takes a month to revolve. So that's, you know, a real problem, because you've got, say if you've got supernova, or you've got a gamma ray burst, and you really need to get this telescope moved there quickly. It'd take a month. With Hubble at the moment, it takes 2 weeks.
I suppose,
but that's a software limitation. If they really wanted to push Hubble to target something, they could do it in 2 days. It's really a question of just writing the software to
really
put it in the right spot.
You'd have something like Hubble for look at what you want to look at when you want to look at it. And also the fact that you'd be able to maintain it a lot better if you had a base on the moon. But then I suppose if you're on the moon, there's nothing wrong with having a telescope there to basically look at whatever is visually there.
Exactly, build lots of telescopes.
As you're going around.
You just build a massive space telescope to really deal with nitty-gritty things.
To get a little bit further, something that
and
can
then you
be
use
maintained.
You use a massive array of telescopes, so just monitoring the sky, because that's what they do at the moment. They mainly use amateur astronomers like myself to keep an eye out for things. Because it was an amateur astronomer that discovered the recent storm on Saturn, which was quite nice.
Yeah.
And the comet, what's the comet around at the moment, which we just discovered a few weeks ago. There's some Polish name.
That's the problem with the
Pojmanski, comet Pojmanski.
It's a big, empty place, and you need
this is Gamercast, where we talk about space.
You need a lot of eyes to be able to cover the whole lot, so
they've got a lot of eyes. We're right here. We just need funding.
So, a moon base. We want a moon base.
We want a moon base. We want a Mars base. We want Bush to frack off. We want NASA to merge with ESA and then really kick some ass. Because the work NASA and ESA did was really cool. Take the Cassini-Huygens mission. Massive success.
Yeah.
And that's when they worked together.
We need a planetary space program.
What do you mean?
That is owned by everybody. Everybody chips in.
No, we don't want the crazy Americans to chip in. They're all crazy. They want to send people to places, blah, 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 take loads of risk, put dozens of people's lives in danger for no reason whatsoever. You know, showboating with Apollo. You know, sure, it was a good scientific achievement, but they really pushed that luck because the tech wasn't there. You know, the Soviet Union was not willing because they could not guarantee 100% they could get people back. Neither could the Americans. The Americans just did it because they're reckless. Just as Bobman says, they're crazy.
Crazy people. With large portions.
Okay. Food. Oh, that's a funny statistic I read the other day. Some dude on the forums, DJ Sonny Guerrero, he said 902 million people were killed in the American Civil War.
Really? Or from eating too much?
No, 902 million from the war.
Bloody
hell. Come on, brain clicking.
No, don't do that.
Sonic doesn't compute there.
And not many people?
Spot on.
Hey, got one right.
It took you a while. But there was only 1.2 billion people in the whole world then.
Yeah, the Americans got crazy with their numbers.
Yeah, they multiplied it by about a million.
Right. So I'd say that's it for this week.
Yeah.
I think we did quite well, considering the fact that just before we started the episode, I'd only just arrived. I didn't come here via home. I came here via Cardiff.
Via Taunton.
Via Taunton, yes. Going all the way into Dorset, which is the next county, and then coming back again, which is an hour's drive. So
that's why Adam is dead.
I am knackered. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to go straight to bed. If you don't believe how knackered that is, if you live in America or something, and you can't comprehend it, go on a multi-map and type in Cardiff, and then type in Yeovil.
It's like driving from New York to California in 3 hours. You know, that's how hard it is. So Adam is the man.
And also the fact that, like, part of the M5 was over 40 miles an hour only, and I was driving in the hard shoulder most of the way, because they took us off the speed thing. And they put speed cameras up to make sure that you actually do 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And you don't see them. They hide them, and you know that you've got to, like, do 40 miles an hour, or you're going to end up with a ticket. Dagnabbit.
So yeah, Adam managed to drive from New York to California in 3 hours. That's a big, big achievement.
Well, the Cardiff rocks.
Yeah.
Right. That's it for me.
That's it for me as well.
Oh.
But we've got to do the end bit.
Yeah.
Feedback goes to feedback at GamerCast.net. Feedback can also be left on the blog at GamerCast.net, or you can post on the forums, World of Forums online. Right, done.
Sweet. Catch you next week.
Catch you next week.
With
something about Dawn of War.
Yeah.
And probable Ghost Recon review, because you need to buy.
Yeah. Sell myself to the devil. Later.
Catch you later.